And rural Georgia is amazing because you can actually go out and not see concrete buildings and massive structures. You can actually see what God created.
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowering. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community. In Georgia, roughly 120 out of the state's 159 counties are considered rural. Rural areas in the state are a county with a population of 50,000 or less, or a municipality with a population under 15,000. Joining me are two lawmakers who represent rural areas from Glenville and Tatnall County with a population between 3,800 and 5,000 is Republican Representative Bill Werkheiser. He is chairman of the Industry and Labor Committee, and he's also on the Appropriations Committee. Also from Cordele in Chris County, which has a population about 10,000, is Republican Senator Cardin Summers. He is chairman of Banking and Finance and vice chair of Regulated Industries and Utilities. Welcome to Lawmakers for this session, both of you. I appreciate this. Let's talk about rural areas. Chairman Summers, what are the unique aspects of living in a rural area? What would you say?
Well, right off the bat, I'd say traffic.
No traffic.
Without question. I mean, it's wonderful that you can get here and there in 5 minutes versus just getting there in about an hour. Another thing is, you know everybody, Donna. It's just so nice that you're in an area where people know people, and you know, it's not just your church groups, it's your organizations in general. You just know so many people. And rural Georgia is amazing because you can actually go out and not see concrete buildings and massive structures. You can actually see what God created.
Okay, what about you? What would you say?
I was going to say the same thing, the fact that it's more of a community, much bigger than your church group, or you're in different civic clubs or whatever. It seems like you know a lot more people.
Yeah.
and it's a great place to raise your kids. We're very fortunate to raise our kids in rural Georgia, and during that time we were on 70 acres, so it was a good time to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you guys want to keep it that way. So I want to talk about a bill you have, the Rural Incentive Act. Tell us about why you wanted that. What would that be about?
Going back to what you said earlier about 120 counties being rural, the Rural Incentive Act would play into effect that if you were between the ages of 16 and 35, and I did it to 35 because it takes that long to get out of medical school. And that's the issue with that. But if you were between the ages of 16 and 35, and you stayed in rural Georgia, and you worked in rural Georgia, and you put roots in rural Georgia, you pay no income tax. Period.
Wow.
It was an incentive to help people, because the problem is most of our young people are being drawn up here to the donut because they think they're going to make this incredible salary. They don't realize the cost of living is 2 to 3 times what it would be in rural Georgia. So if they had some incentives to say, I just like incentives to help young people, and that was an incentive I thought would be a really good one to put in there. And it's moved, but it's just sitting in a committee right now.
Okay. But you said you're not done with this.
Absolutely not. We got to give incentive to rural Georgia.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that. Chairman Werkheiser, you are dealing with the crisis. You want to talk about the Georgia hospital crisis, and we want to talk about that a little bit. The College of Coastal Georgia reports that Georgia ranks third highest in the nation for rural hospital closures. Since 2005, 9 rural hospitals have closed. 18 of 30 remaining rural hospitals are at risk of closing, and 9 hospitals face immediate risk. When it comes to service gaps, 60% of rural hospitals have 0 OB physicians, 52% have no psychiatrists, and 39% lack dedicated emergency room physicians. The impact is rural Americans have a 43% higher chance of dying from common illnesses due to these closures. So, Chairman Werkheiser, explain the distance between some of these hospitals as part of it. What is the problem?
So, I get to see a little bit behind the scenes because I've been serving on one of our local hospitals for 5 years. So I get to look at financials. You get to talk about stuff, that see how they operate and some of the problems. And then during the soft session, I went on a 300-mile trek through South Georgia, visited 9 hospitals in a 2-day period. brutal schedule, but I got to talk to every one of the CEOs, and I said, you know, what can we do as a legislature to help? And so we, you know, just came up with a list of stuff, and a lot of them were budgetary, but there was this one idea, and the idea I had to allow some of these hospitals to join forces, whether it's through purchasing supplies, staffing contracts, or negotiating insurance rates with carriers, because they're just at such a great disadvantage.
Yeah, so they'll be able to, under your bill, they would share staffing, the supplies, and the big thing was insurance. Explain what that, why that is such an important part of your bill.
This should shock you. There's a hospital nearby that basically does just joint replacements. But you can get a gallbladder surgery there, and you might get it reimbursed, or that hospital will get reimbursed around $6,000. There's four other hospitals within 20 miles of that hospital where 82% of the folks that come to the hospital doors are either Medicaid, Medicare, or uninsured. And so you're making money off 6%. So the insurance companies have no incentive to bargain with you. And so if you get a gallbladder surgery there, you might get reimbursed $600.
Just 600.
The difference is that big. And so it's not fair. And this bill, the aim was to address that.
Okay, we're going to talk more about that in a second, what happened to your bill. So I do want to talk a little bit about you, Chairman Summers. Let's talk about your bill that would punish protesters who are on the interstate.
Okay, not punishing anybody. First of all, I'm 100% believer in the First Amendment. You can protest. I'll stand there with you and hold a flag. The bill, that law was already in place in regards to blocking roads and streets, bridges, et cetera, et cetera. What we did was is say we made it a highly aggravated misdemeanor if they don't move when they're told to by law enforcement. And by making it a highly aggravated misdemeanor, it simply added jail time and a higher fine. The part about sidewalks and passageways was always a misdemeanor. So that didn't change. We just had to put it back in the bill. But it's simply, you want to stop mothers from getting to school. You don't want to stop ambulances. You don't want to stop fire trucks. I mean, they shouldn't be in the middle of the road. I mean, if you have a permit to close a road, that's one thing. Everybody knows it. But you don't have a permit to close a road just because you want a permit. Protest. You want to protest? Protest legally.
And how did that bill do?
It passed House and Senate.
Yeah, so it's ready to go to the governor right now.
Governor, I would think he would sign it any day now.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I want to get back to what happened to your bill. So it did great. It was in the House, came out of the House. What happened after it got to the Senate?
The House passed it unanimously, both in committee and as a chamber. So it's a very bipartisan issue. Apparently, the Senate has different ideas on health care. And they took the bill and replaced it with CON, which basically killed the bill.
Certificate of need.
Yep.
And
yep.
Explain what that is. That's to get a hospital into an area.
Yeah, and there are reasons for certificate of need in the metro area, but the reason it exists now is prevent a larger hospital taking that, the non 82%, the 8% of people who can pay, and setting up an ambulatory service or outpatient and capturing those patients, people who've got good insurance, build a bright, nice new ambulatory service. And so CON or certificate of need prevents that from happening. And there's a reason to do that because of cost in metro when you've got large hospital systems on top of each other. But folks will say, well, if you're a free market, you should be for getting rid of CON. Healthcare is not free market by a long shot. And so that's not a good argument.
Yeah. So you're not happy so after they did that the bill has to come back to the House.
I had the bill withdrawn. I said I was not going to waste my time
dealing
with that.
It dies at this point, as far as you're concerned?
Yep.
That's what happens.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what we hear when we talk about a Frankenstein bill that comes over and you felt really good about it and now it's totally gone.
Well, this time of year, you're going to have every bill, you have to read them closely because just because they got the number on you saw 2 weeks ago doesn't mean what's in that bill today.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about leading up to crossover, how important it is to cross over, but that doesn't mean it's going to make it. So I can tell you're very disappointed.
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Con is so important to rural Georgia, too. I mean, that's okay. what he's trying. I mean, rural hospitals are on the verge of closing. I mean, the hospitals they teeter all the time, you know, just barely getting the doors open. So anything we can do to help in regards to hospital care in rural Georgia, I champion what he was trying to do.
Yeah. So you probably won't give up. It sounds like this is something you really care about.
There's, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on because we were initially going to talk about this and then things happened today, but you wanted to come on and still talk about it. So I appreciate it. Thank you both for coming on. It's always great to have you on.
Great. Thank you, Donna.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.